I'm also a member of our EHR implementation and maintenance and training team at the clinic. And so what I'm going to talk about a little bit is some of the different ways that we've used the electronic health record at our clinic to kind of manage chronic disease and use it in some of our quality improvement efforts. I have no disclosures. So these are the objectives, just to give you an idea of some of the ways that the EHR can be used in your clinic. And I'll tell you a little bit about our clinic. Glide Health Services is a nurse-managed health center. We are considered to be the largest nurse-managed FQHC on the West Coast. We have 9 nurse practitioners in both modalities of care in the house. We have primary care and behavioral health, mental health nurse practitioners, and we're part of an interprofessional staff. We also are a large training site for UCSF School of Nursing. We have students that are in the master's entry program for nursing, nurse practitioner students, and we also get students from other universities who are training towards nursing administration and a variety of other degrees. We're located in the Tenderloin area. Anyone familiar with where the Hilton Hotel is out here? So actually right across the street from the Hilton is Glide. And if you walk down a few blocks in the opposite direction, not coming towards Union Square, you actually get a flavor of what the neighborhood is and the population that we deal with. We pretty consistently have about between 3,100 to 3,500 clients a year. And majority of our clients are homeless. Some of the other professions in the clinic are physicians, licensed clinical social workers, health educators, medical assistants, and a wide variety of other practitioners. We also have pharmacists on site, and that's one of the things that we've added recently that a lot of clients have said is actually one of their favorite services to utilize. So just over primary care, behavioral health, we actually have a 90-day outpatient substance abuse treatment program, which is certified by the state, and that's part of the clinic. We have care coordination services, and it's an interesting partnership between one of our hospitals that we partner with, that we share a staff member who is there in their emergency room to do outreach to some of our clients, and then she's in clinic a couple of days out of the week. And then we also have a wellness center that was funded through grants, and so that's one of the things. And the important thing is everyone in the clinic shares the same electronic health record. I know that's problematic in some agencies, but we found a way to make it work so that everybody sees the same chart, everybody's able to access it in real time. Multiple providers can use the chart simultaneously, and this is some of our demographics here. And then we do have a pretty diverse population. And this just talks a little bit about the prevalence of chronic disease. The Tenderloin area of San Francisco has a higher rate of a lot of health disparities in comparison with the rest of the city and county of San Francisco. A lot of hospital visits are because of preventable causes. And so this just kind of gives you an idea. With the depression numbers, it's anyone who's ever been diagnosed with depression. Sometimes they're not actually receiving treatment, but that is pretty consistent with some of the surveys that we've done in the past, where about 50% of our clients endorsed having either some type of mental health and or substance use disorder at some point in their lifetime. And so one of the things that we use as a way to manage and screen our patients effectively is the use of a depression screening, also alcohol, substance abuse, and tobacco screening questionnaire. And it's given to anyone regardless of the modality that they come in for at their initial visit and then quarterly or as clinically indicated. And you see the high numbers that we had for clients with substance use and mental health disorders. This is one of the tools that have helped us obtain that information. And it's also useful in tailoring interventions And because of the shared EHR by all modalities, it's a way of really communicating easily between providers to get a clear picture of what may be going on with the client so that we can provide them with better treatment. And then this is just a picture of what some of the functions look like. This is a picture of a screen that our medical, one of the first screens that our medical assistants see. So they actually administer the screening tool and record, and it's given on paper, and then it's entered into the electronic health record. And so there are a couple of, yes.
What's your electronic
health record? We use General Electric, it's called Centricity. And we implemented electronic health record initially in 2008 as part of a research study by the Michigan Public Health Institute. So we actually received our system for free. So what they were looking at is how did implementation of electronic health records affect the care that clinicians gave. So, and on here you just see some of the, like the tabs where there's links that if you click on those, it takes you to additional information. And so this is one of the additional screens, and so you see it's pretty robust with regard to gathering information. And often providers say, had it not been for these reminders, when we had paper charts, we had a little checkoff sheet that was in the front of all of the charts, and you had to remember to look at that sheet and see what screenings were due and ask certain questions. Or if you're in a hurry, you forget to ask about certain information and you say, oh, I wish I would have asked them a little bit more about their alcohol use. You can skip over these screens, but most people's inclination is if they see something there, they think they have to do something with it. And so it works to our advantage in many cases because some people wouldn't ask many detailed questions about someone's substance use or their alcohol use. And so all of that information is there. It also has a screening. One of the really important things is the screening for violence. And so if this was actually a live link, there's actually a screen that asks about a history of violence. Is anyone abusing them now? And it really kind of captures that data so we can find out if that is impacting the person's ability to care for themselves or is that an issue that needs further intervention. This is just a kind of a sample of the what they call dashboard reports that we get from the person who provides us with support for our electronic health record. And this is kind of showing us that we are actually doing pretty good with regard to controlling diabetes in our clients. We participate in the Diabetes Collaborative. And so these are just some of the national care standards for people with diabetes. And so they give us a report quarterly to let us know how we're doing with meeting those. We focus on the people with diabetes. That's the population that has the most hospitalizations that are preventable. And so through our partnership with the Hospital St. Francis, we've actually worked out an agreement with them that we will track our diabetic clients and really try to beef up the outreach to prevent them from coming to the emergency room unnecessarily. So one of the ways that we've been able to improve our control in our diabetic clients is through use of some of these decision-making tools and protocols. And as I said before, we've been participating in the Diabetes Collaborative, the old way of doing things. There was someone that had to do data entry, and she had one day every week devoted to doing data entry for our diabetic clients. And there was this big, long checkoff sheet that had all of the information that's included on here on one form with micro print, and providers had to check off the box, and sometimes the printout wasn't ready and updated for your upcoming visit, and so you may have missed something because you thought it was current, but come to find out that was an outdated form. And so now this actually will show us kind of what you documented the last time, when you documented it, and it shows that the protocol is satisfied or either that it's due. And so it's really great to have those reminders in the chart. It's also an organized way of making sure that everyone is recording everything uniformly. Some people would use different terms, and so that makes it complicated when you're trying to do reports and pull things out if everyone is not using the same nomenclature. And so that's one of the things that the system does. And then once we put all of this great information in, we can see what our improvements have been. This was data that was done as part of the implementation that was gathered during the studies that the Michigan Public Health Institute performed. They went through and they did an audit of our charts at implementation of the electronic health record, which is our baseline. Then we have the 1 year after implementation, where you see there's a huge jump in our processes, and so they have certain process measures that they looked at, things like were we taking the vital signs and recording them and getting the actual, like the things that we actually did, like the foot checks and the eye exams and things of that sort. That's where we experienced the biggest increase incrementally in the first 2 years after implementation. And it's because, one, there was a way to consistently record them and track them. It wasn't a matter of someone lost a piece of paper that they were documenting on, and so, oh, it ended up in somebody else's chart or accidentally got thrown in the shredder. And I think it's also because we did have the decision-making prompts there to remind us that these things were due, and the information was available in real time. And then, it looked, even though there's a little bit of a spike in the outcomes, where it jumped up 52 and then back down to 50, you know that you're always dealing with the biggest confounding variable is a patient. And there were some other things, like we had equipment shortages and things of that sort, which we've tried to figure may have accounted for that slight dip. But all things considered, 2% is not that significant.
Do your alerts flash at you, or do you go somewhere to see what you need to do?
So we go somewhere to see what we need to do, and those are the slides that I accidentally left out. And so for those of you who come in, these are the slides that I accidentally left out. And those actually show you there's a couple of places where we would see the decision-making tools. And actually, let me go back. I'm not sure I have to go back. Yeah, well, actually, I'll talk about them here. Okay. And so some of the things that we have in there, we have the ability to customize some of the protocols. And so there are a couple of different places in the chart. There's actually a protocols tab that you can look at, and it will show you a box similar to the one that's on this top slide. And I know the print is small, but that's a sample of one of our customized protocols for our patients that are on psychiatric medications. We developed a protocol to manage, to kind of screen and track their metabolic risk, because that's a huge risk factor in our population. And so it has here, and we have the ability to customize to a certain extent, but the parameters aren't as flexible. So we found like what was an acceptable range for us, frequency or interval for us to do these screens. But we were able to input those. There are also some that are preloaded into the system, such as the ones for diabetes and hypertension and things of that sort. On the second slide that's on the handout, this is the last screen that providers see at the end of a visit. And I know it's tiny, but there's a little box that says protocols due today. And so it lists whatever you may have forgot to do. You might have skipped over a screen while you were doing the chart, and you forgot to ask about something or forgot to do something. There's this little box that's at the end that says what protocols are due. And so that's kind of your final reminder to go back and ask about those things or document them if you forgot, document them during the course of the visit. Our reporting functions is one of the big things that we use to coordinate our outreach and also to review the quality and drive any quality improvement efforts. The system is able to generate reports similar to the one that I displayed on the previous screen, but we can also customize for a particular population. So if we want to do a report of all of our diabetic clients who have not had a retinopathy screening within a certain time period, we can type that in and pull that out. The system can actually develop mailing lists, postcards, and things of that sort. And we have monthly quality improvement team meetings, and so we look at selected data during those meetings to see how we're doing with certain indicators. One of the other functions that we really love about the electronic health record is the ability to look at any medication safety issues. Not just in San Francisco, but I'm sure it happens all across the nation. There's an issue of people going to multiple providers. And it's not just those who are medication seeking or trying to obtain controlled substances. Sometimes people just go from place to place. They feel they have the right to get a second opinion, and so they just go get one without talking to you. Or they felt like they needed to see a specialist, and so they went and selected one. And so in San Francisco, we're working on getting health exchanges, but it hasn't happened yet. Talks have started. But we're able to tap into the San Francisco Department of Public Health, LCR. That will pretty much list any encounters that people have had at the county hospital and at some of the DPH community clinics. And so we're able to view that information to see if someone has access care elsewhere, and if so, what treatments did they receive? A huge issue is with unsafe prescribing practices. And sometimes someone has gotten a set of medications somewhere else, and they come to us and they forgot that they got these medications elsewhere, and so we don't have that information. We may be prescribing something that will interact in an adverse way. And then there's also a population of people who just really don't remember, and they can't remember the name of the medication and what it's for. It's the little orange pill, and it's oval-shaped. And so this is a way for us to look at that. This is actually a sample of the medication history feature, which is something new that was added for us to be in compliance with meaningful use and as part of an upgrade. This is something that is actually electronic. It pulls from an electronic database that pharmacies and insurance carriers use. It can give us 2 years worth of data of any medication that's been prescribed for any insurance carrier or pharmacy that actually uses the database. And so most of the screens I show you have been from a test patient chart, but this function won't work on the test patient. So this is the actual real patient's chart. Where he came to our clinic to establish care and said he was transferring care from somewhere else. So when we pull up the report, we see that he is actively getting medications from another provider while he is coming to our clinic. And he is getting large quantities of multiple controlled substances and then coming to our clinic and requesting the same. And so he decided not to come to our clinic anymore. But this on the top here is the history that we've received from that database. And this is information that we never would have obtained had it not been for the electronic health record. And these are the medications that we have that he's actively taking. And so we do have the ability to do medication reconciliation and see if there are any safety issues with regard to prescribing. And then this is a sample of the medication interactions report that comes up. It's built into the system, and so it actually runs an automatic check to see what type of interactions there are. And it is actually pretty sensitive. As we had to turn down the sensitivity on it. It was doing things such as telling us, this person is taking, like they were giving alerts for aspirin. And be careful, they might have stomach bleeding, and everything was in. It's like, okay, it's too much. There were too many pop-ups, and so we turned down the sensitivity a little bit. The other thing that's useful about this and getting the client involved in managing their care is we can actually print out a summary of their visit at the end and give them a list of their medications that has their allergies, any of their diagnoses, and so it's something they take with them when they go elsewhere. And it just makes sure that they're staying a little bit safer. This is a sample of the detail that we get from the reporting tab. So you see on the other screen there was the red stop sign that alerted us. If you click on this reporting tab, it will actually show you what the different interactions are. If you print, it will also give you details of the data that support those interactions, and so it will give you a vignette of a study where somebody took the medications under certain circumstances, and they had, this was the interaction they had, and this was the prevalence of it. So it's a really handy tool. The other thing that it does, it even alerts you to similarities in medication ingredients. And so we had one instance where a person was allergic to Wellbutrin, and I can't remember what the other medication that was being prescribed, but an alert actually came up that gave a warning that the medication being prescribed had a similar ingredient to generic Wellbutrin. And so did we want to prescribe the medication because is the person going to be allergic to the dye? I was like, who knew about that? So things like that are built into the system. And then that is pretty much, in a nutshell, some of the ways that we've used the electronic health record to improve our patient care. And then I just have this slide here because we do exist in partnership. The clinic is actually considered to be a faculty practice of the UCSF School of Nursing. The hospital that I said we're in partnership with is St. Francis Memorial Hospital, which is part of Dignity Health. We're part of the San Francisco Community Clinic Consortium, and then we also have support from the San Francisco DPH. And thank you.